Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and somehow, some way, 4 weeks of our New Littles project have come and gone. This is the final Thursday of this month, and our final conversation with Andrew Beveridge, professor of sociology at Queens College and the CUNY Graduate Center, and the man behind Social Explorer, a website that lets you explore all sorts of demographic data. And Andrew, as people know, all month we've been exploring some of the ethnic neighborhoods and communities people might not know that much about. Little Italy and Chinatown were named almost a century ago. Lots has changed since then, and a lot changed in the last 10 years, as documented by new census numbers. So we've been looking at Little Ecuador in Queens, Little Liberia on Staten Island, Little Uzbekistan in southern Brooklyn, all sorts of littles. So, Andrew, any final thoughts on the month as we begin our last segment?
Well, two things, really, Brian. One is that you could probably run this for a year or two,
given the number of
ethnic groups that there are in New York and the number that are coming in. And the second point I think that should be made is that, you know, we use this 20% screen, but in fact there are two.
Meaning the definition of a new little is any neighborhood that has at least 20% of the population coming from that community.
Right. But, I mean, I think that that undercuts it in two ways. One of the groups that we're going to be talking about today, Tibet, is an example where the census didn't break them out, I don't believe. And then the second is that, you know, if you have an onrush of a new group and the group itself is not really that large, you know, it probably won't hit the 20%, but it's still a very interesting thing. I mean, the Afghans near Queens is, you know, would be my best example of that.
So here's what we want to do to follow up on this series. And listeners, we want your creativity on this. This is our last on-air segment for this project, but we've still got one more new littles thing going. We're asking for all you artists, cartoonists, and illustrators out there to take this list of new littles and draw a neighborhood map of New York, you know, like the ones you see tourists using, or maybe the ones that pop up sometimes on the cover of the New Yorker, that kind of map. And here's today's question for our listeners. How should your new little be represented on the map? We all know that if you want to show Little Italy, people tend to add a Leaning Tower of Pisa, or Little France will have the Eiffel Tower. But how should the artists working on this map represent, say, Little Liberia or Little Panama in Crown Heights? If you know of a new little, call in to nominate a way to represent it on the map, a national icon, a building, a physical feature, a plant or animal, whatever, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post it to our website. And artists, remember, the deadline to submit is July 11th. That's a week from this Monday. And there is all the information and the data that you need right on our site. So if you're an artist, illustrator, cartoonist, help us make some cool new littles maps at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And as some extra incentive for you, we're pleased to announce that WNYC's own Jerome L. Green Performance Space has agreed to feature the submissions. They will be rotating on big video screens inside the green space, visible from the sidewalk down here by our Varick Street studios. So you will be displayed, artists, if you create one of these maps for us. And again, all the information, all the data at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. All right, off to a new little. Let's hop from down here on Varick Street on the number one train uptown, transfer at Times Square to the Queensbound number 7, and visit an area that a caller, Joe, tipped us off to a couple of weeks ago.
My wife and I both taught in Northwest Queens, and as the professor says, it is very, very diverse. It was a delight to teach kids from all over the world. So it's hard to say it's little anything if it's really little everything, but there's an increasing Tibetan population in Sunnyside.
So let's touch base briefly with Champa Norgam, a community organizer for the Tibetan community of New York and New Jersey. Champa, so nice of you to come on. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brian, and thank you for hosting a Tibetan community as a little community in Queens. I think this gives us a great exposure to share our culture and our growing community in Queens.
What do you want people to know about the community?
The Tibetan community has grown exponentially from 5,000 and over recently, And most of the community people in Tibet, in Queens, live in Woodside, Jackson Heights, Astoria. They are a thriving community with the restaurants. We have a little school that has over 200 kids enrolled each year in the Tibetan language, because most of the immigrants who have come here have had little or no education in English, and the children, unfortunately, do not have opportunities to mm-hmm. study Tibetan in the public schools and elsewhere.
So we're talking about Sunnyside and Woodside. Your organization title says it's for New York and New Jersey. Are there little Tibets elsewhere in the region besides Queens?
Yes, there are. There's a small community in New Jersey, and probably around the United States we have over 15,000 or 20,000 Tibetans. They're spread in D.C., they're spread in Michigan, they're in Colorado, Minnesota. We're all over in little groups.
What's the biggest social or policy challenge you think your community is facing?
Well, one of the biggest challenges that we have as a community is as the younger children attending public schools, the parents are working class people, and we need programs for them to be able to after school programs and mm-hmm. social programs that mm-hmm. gear directly to the environment mm-hmm. that suits us. And Tibet is so unknown in the United States, and there's so little programs geared toward that, because we really don't fall under the minority programs.
Yes. And before we go, we've been asking for people, as you heard, to tell us how to represent these new littles on a map. If an artist was drawing a map and wanted to depict little Tibet, any thoughts about an icon they should use?
Oh, they can use, we have the Potala Palace in Tibet, in Lhasa itself, is a great icon. A Chertan, a temple stupa, is a great icon. And I think, you know, the wonderful Tibetan flag is a great icon.
There you go. When Tibet is post-China, if that day ever comes, a lot of the folks here want to go back.
I think when that day comes back, I think people would want to go back, but I think they would very much be rooted in this country as well, because this gave them the opportunity to speak up for those Tibetans in Tibet.
Champa Norgam, community organizer for the Tibetan community of New York and New Jersey, thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian, for giving us this opportunity.
And from there in Woodside, we hop on the Q18 bus, cuts right up 30th Avenue there, and we can get off on Steinway Street. Right near that intersection is the Brazilian grocery store Ipanema Girl. At the heart of Astoria's Little Brazil, Selma Barone is the owner of Ipanema Girl. Hi, Selma.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. So I walk into your store. What kinds of things do I see on the shelves?
Oh, my God, a lot of Brazilian products. We have the Brazilian coffee. We have the Brazilian herbs. We have a lot of stuff from Brazil.
That's great.
Really?
And most of your
mm-hmm.
customers are Brazilian. That's who you cater to, Brazilians who want to find some of the things from home?
Yes, yes. And the people over here feels like a home.
And
we have the Brazilian attendants, too, so they'll be able to speak their language. So we're pretty much, you know.
And, Andrew, you told us a story the first week you were on with us about a colleague of yours from Brazil who insisted that she stop in Astoria to pick up a particular item that she had left at home. So, obviously, word has gotten back to the home country that this is the Little Brazil.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's true. And, in fact, the person was very direct on where to go to find Little Brazil. I mean, this is one of the weird things about New York. I mean, no one knows everything about New York. And so I remember when we got in the car, we were going to drive around. We were going to go over to Willits Point and look at the body shops, you know, that they're trying to get rid of.
Yeah.
And, you know, they said, well, let's go over here. I want to pick something up. And so we did.
And I want to get in a question for Stephanie Mulcock, general counsel for the Cidadel Global. And that's a not-for-profit that advocates for the local Brazilian community. Hey, Stephanie, what should we know about the community? What's important for non-Brazilians to know?
Hi, Brian. Thank you so much for having us on our show and your show, and thank you for spotlighting Little Brazil. It's important to know that Brazilian immigrants come from all social, economic, and racial backgrounds. And although they are growing in numbers and in affluence and economic affluence, as well as reflected in the number of businesses that there is in that there are in the Steinway and in the Astoria area. It's also important to realize that there are a lot of low-income Brazilian immigrants who are struggling, and that's what our organization does. We help out the ones who are struggling to know their rights. Such as domestic workers who might not know that they have the right to minimum wage, etc.
I have a Brazilian relative by marriage who tells me that a lot of people in the community are going back, that the immigration is actually happening the other way because Brazil has a growing economy and we have a stagnating economy. You see that?
Yes. It's actually a very interesting phenomenon because I believe it was Dr. Maxine Margolis, who an anthropologist who years ago wrote a research on Brazilian immigrants in New York City, and she wrote that Brazilian immigrants were constantly trying to just build economic affluence and then return to Brazil. And what we're seeing now due to the recession here in the United States and the economic prosperity that Brazil is going through right now in Brazil is that a lot of those people who always had that idea that they would return did. But it was not the diaspora that we were expecting to happen. A very interesting phenomenon is that people have, Brazilian immigrants that immigrated to the United States a while ago have been here so long that they created roots and now they want to stay.
Yes.
So we're seeing a lot of people who have been left behind are the people who really want to be part of the New York City community.
Yes. Oh, it makes sense.
Really
people put down roots after a time wherever they happen to go or to be. And before we go, for both of you, real quick, did you hear the question about the icons? How should Little Brazil be represented on a map, Ipanema girl? How would you do
I'm
it?
Sorry.
Do we still have Selma? If you were representing
Little Brazil
on a map, right, a little icon, a little symbol of Brazil, like you put the Leaning Tower of Pisa maybe for Italy, what would you put for Brazil?
I think we put like the big cross we have in Rio de Janeiro, my city.
Stephanie, you got one?
Yes.
The Brazilian flag.
The Brazilian
flag is a really good one. Yes.
The Brazilian
also,
flag or the big cross in Rio, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
The Cross Redeemer in Rio, or perhaps the sugar loaf with the trolley going through. That's kind of internationally known.
That's a good idea, too.
Thank you both very much for coming on and talking about Little Brazil and Astoria. And Andrew Beveridge, demographer from Queens College and the CUNY Graduate Center. This about wraps up our new little series. Thank you so much for doing this with us for five weeks.
I really enjoyed it, Brian, and I hope that we find some very interesting maps soon.
And again, artists and illustrators, go to our website, WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehr Show, come up with whatever icons and other designs you want, and create a new littles map of New York. We have a lot of information and data that you can easily work with, and we will display whatever you come up with in our green space for people to see even as they're walking on the street outside the station, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. And Andrew, in our last 30 seconds, if we were to do this again with you in 10 years when the next census is taken, any predictions as to the new littles we'd be seeing then, or is that just too far out?
Well, I think it's far out, and I think one of the things that pushes it, and I think it's come up a few times, is how is that country doing, or how is the, both politically and economically compared to the United States? And so, some of them are like refugees, like when the Russians all came after in the 90s. Some of them come for economic reasons and then go back, like the Brazilians, or go over and come back, like the Irish. So there's a lot of things that drive immigration. It's hard to figure out what's going to happen next.
Great job, demographer Andrew Beveridge. And maybe we'll be talking about the new New York, the little New York, the American enclave in China by then. Thank you very much. And artists, go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehr Show, and make those new little maps.